Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We are pressing on in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter of 2 Corinthians, and we're down to the 12th verse. Today, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. It's a translation, and normally I read from the ESV, English Standard Version, or the New American Standard, but from time to time, there's various versions will just simply be clearer, okay? And there's reasons for that. It has to do with how translations are made and how they're word for word. Some of them, like New American Standard, is a word for word type translation, Greek into the English, which can sometimes be clumsy. Other translations, like the NIV, is more like a thought for thought, which is great, and that's wonderful. But sometimes that leaves open doors a little wider for personal interpretation and nuances that may not be there. So anyway, this I just found this to be much clearer for this particular passage. So this is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12 says this: "We can say with confidence and a clear conscience that we have lived with a God-given holiness and sincerity in all our dealings." So this is Paul writing back to the church of Corinth. He brought the gospel to the church of Corinth and spent 18 months there, then left. Heard there were some situations, some problems. They had some questions. He responded to them. And that's what we have, 1 Corinthians. And we just finished going through 1 Corinthians. But that wasn't the only correspondence. Apparently, he wrote another letter. And that's referred to sometimes as his harsh letter, his difficult letter. We don't have a copy of that. Well, then, you know, they write back and forth. There's communication between the groups. People travel. He hears things. Well, he writes 2 Corinthians, and he's finding out that some people are saying some things. And what we're about to see is that he had promised them that he was going to stop by on his way to Macedonia. And then on the way back from Macedonia, he was going to stop by again, and he didn't do it. And when he didn't do it, what's going to happen? Yes, people are going to bring forth all sorts of questions at best, accusations at the most, you know, saying, well, he's just a liar, he's doing this and doing that. And they're drawing all sorts of things into question. I mean, and just think about this, you know, Paul spent many, many years of his life in prisons. How would that be viewed today? Well, you know what, it'd be viewed the same way back then. And he's saying right now, you know, we're saying this with confidence, and I'm saying with a clear conscience, that we have lived with a God-given holiness and sincerity in all of our dealings. He said, I'm not trying to do anything abusive. I'm not lying to you. I'm not saying anything. And he says, I'm not saying I'm doing this in the flesh. He said, this is a God-given holiness. Actually, the truth is that you see in the balance of his writings in the scripture, that those who are truly saved, true believers, are called saints, holy ones, hagios, okay, holy ones. Well, he continues in verse 12. He says, we have depended on God's grace, not on our own human wisdom. That is, we have conducted ourselves before the world, and especially toward you, in this way. He said, this is how we have done this. We've conducted ourselves before you with God's grace, not with my wisdom, a human wisdom, and we've done it before you, and we've done it before the world. Verse 13, he continues. Our letters have been straightforward. Notice the plural there. Our letters have been straightforward. And there is nothing written between the lines and nothing you can't understand. Isn't that great? I think you see why I wanted to read the New Living Translation right here, because it's more in the colloquial language of our day. And he's saying, you know what? I wrote straightforward. There's nothing hidden, no hidden meaning. So somebody who's sitting there trying to draw a hidden meaning out of this, you're wrong. We would do well to be likewise, okay? Sometimes people will twist Paul's writings. It's nothing new. Peter actually acknowledges that in his writings in the scripture. He says, hey, I'll grant you, Paul's writings are sometimes hard to understand, and they get twisted by people. Peter verifies that, okay? But Paul's saying, hey, it's straightforward. There's nothing in between the lines. I'm just saying what I'm saying, okay? And there's nothing you can't understand. There's nothing you can't understand by the power of the Spirit. That's really a word of encouragement. Verse 13 continues. I hope someday you will fully understand us, even if you don't understand us now. Then, on the day when the Lord returns, you will be proud of us in the same way we are proud of you. So he's saying, man, I'm proud of y'all. I know that there's talk about me. I know you don't understand. I know there's levels of things. So some people are saying that he was obfuscating in his letters. What does he say? I've been straightforward. Other people said that he's saying something between the lines. He's saying, no, there's nothing in between the lines that I'm saying right here. Okay. Other people are saying, I don't understand this. Why is he talking this way? Well, we understand that sometimes. We don't understand Paul's writing sometimes. But guess what? He's telling us point blank. And he's saying it point blank. You know what? There's nothing here you can't understand. Now, maybe not nothing you can't understand in the flesh, but empowered by the Spirit, you can understand. And the whole point is that when the Lord returns, you're going to realize that I'm proud of you, and you will be proud of me. Verse 15, he continues, since I was so sure of your understanding and trust, I wanted to give you a double blessing by visiting you twice. First on my way to Macedonia, and when I returned from Macedonia, then you could send me off on my way to Judea. Well, you can imagine what people were saying right here. You know, Paul's viewing this as a double blessing by visiting, and it was. Okay, it was. But then when he says that you could send me on my way, people would say, well, he's just wanting money. He just wants us to support him. Well, you know what? That's true. He did expect them to support. And we're going to see this in the 8th, 9th chapter here in this letter right here, how he deals with some things about supporting people. Okay, but he wants to deal with another issue here in verse 17 first. He says, you may be asking why I changed my plan. So we know that he changed his plans. Do you think I make my plans carelessly? Do you think I'm like people of the world who say yes when they really mean no? Verse 18, as surely as God is faithful, our word to you does not waver between yes and no. For Jesus Christ, the Son of God, does not waver between yes and no. He is the one whom Silas, Timothy, and I preach to you. And as God's ultimate yes, he always does what he says. For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And through Christ, our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for his glory. So he sort of got sidetracked here with this little yes thing going right here. And he's saying, hey, you know, we've been living in the Lord. We promised to visit you. Our plans changed. Do you think I'm the one that creates the plan? No, I told you yes, and the yes was in Christ. But sometimes Christ changes things. Okay, verse 21. It is God who enables us, along with you, to stand firm for Christ. He has commissioned us and he has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment that guarantees everything he has promised. And then he closes out this chapter with this. Now, I call upon God as my witness that I'm telling you the truth. The reason I didn't return to Corinth was to spare you from a severe rebuke. Oh, gosh. That was the reason I was sort of hurriedly reading through those passages, because I wanted you to see. Okay, I wanted you to see what the real issue was. He was going to have to give them a severe rebuke for some things that was going on. And he wanted to spare them that. He didn't want to go through that with them again. Verse 24, but that does not mean we want to dominate you by telling you how to put your faith into practice. We want to work together with you so you will be full of joy, for it is by your own faith that you stand firm. In other words, not because of the faith of Paul, but the faith, their own faith, the transformation that they have experienced. He said, yeah, I was going to pass through. I was going to go back. But, you know, the Lord sort of changed my heart and changed my mind, because if I did, I was going to bring a severe rebuke to you. And this just wasn't the time for that. Yeah, that gives some interesting insight into it, doesn't it? Well, again, I'm Dale. We may pick up some thoughts on this in the next episode. We may press on. Who knows? But, again, I will see you. Bye-bye.